We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
You got the touch. You got the power.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Adam Beasley. Danny G, the Sports Bomber, along as well. As we kick off the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to take you up until 10 o'clock. That's when CBS Sports Radio will take over. We appreciate everybody tuning in. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so via the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. One of our buddy Dom V, who likes to text in, he lives in Texas. But he says, out of all the Finns reporters, Beasley rocks.
Oh, I love that.
There we go. So,
Dom, the check is in the mail.
Yeah.
Or the Venmo is in the interweb.
We've got to absolutely highlight when we get some positive reinforcement here.
Because it happens so seldomly for me, to be honest.
Another texter says, Sports Bomber coming through with great buffer music. Love Greg and Beasley together. There we go. All right.
All right. Let's make this a nightly thing.
Hey. We got to get the right people listening to that.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. Okay, so there's a lot going on. We've got a lot of very active and fun conversation and a lively debate about a number of different things. We have some Dolphins text rolling in here, but I do want to update everybody on this Houston Rockets scenario. So for those who are unaware, there was a report from Yahoo Sports, and it was, I want to give credit where credit's due, Vincent Goodwill, who wrote the headline sources, Chris Paul wants out as relationship with James Harden deemed quote-unquote unsalvageable. And so he goes on to write in here a number of different things about Chris Paul and James Harden, their relationships, including, according to a source, quote, there's no respect at all on either side. They need to get away from one another. Chris doesn't respect James' standing in the league, and James doesn't respect the work Chris has put into this point, end quote. And so,
wait a minute. How long has Chris Paul been in the league?
Chris Paul is what, 34, 35?
So, in the league for like 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't put in a body of work in the course of 15 years to earn James Harden's respect?
Apparently not, in the sense, well, based on this, my interpretation of this is that Chris Paul has that body of work. But since he's not living up to what that body of work would indicate in earlier years,
because he's 34 years old,
yes, that James Harden doesn't respect him. That's my take on it. Because Chris Paul is not playing the type of basketball.
Well, yeah, let's be honest. He was kind of an afterthought in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Now, but the fascinating thing about it is that we're just a year removed from him being the missing link. Like, if he hadn't gotten hurt, we all thought the Rockets would have won the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, Father Time's undefeated, Greg.
Seriously.
At some point, it creeps up on you, except for Tom Brady, because he's using supplements, and I'm using air quotes around supplements. What did I say there?
Read into that what you will. Another league source told Yahoo Sports, quote, it can't be fixed. And so this article goes on to say that Chris Paul is demanding a trade. Now,
that's a strong report.
Right. So that,
you've got to have that source about three different ways to write that.
That all happens. And then tonight, Zach Lowe, among other NBA reporters, have come out and said the otherwise. And so Zach Lowe tweeted out 16 minutes ago, just spoke to Daryl Morey. For those who don't know, that is the general manager of the Houston Rockets.
Correct.
He reiterated there has been no trade demand from Chris Paul. Quote, tweet that I said that. Print it. Tweet it twice. End quote. So Daryl Morey, because I heard Daryl Morey on the Dan Patrick show this morning, and Dan Patrick flat out asked him that question. He says, no, that's not happening. We're not trading. Like, there was a report by Adrian Wojnarowski a couple of weeks ago that pretty much everybody was available for the Houston Rockets. And I think much like all the other teams, the West and maybe the East as well, the moment the Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson injuries occur, everybody's like taking big steps
back. Yeah, we'll take our chips off the table.
Whoa, okay, yeah, this is a game changer here. So he said this morning that James Harden and Chris Paul are not available via trade. Anybody else, who knows? So he didn't say, like, Clint Capella, Eric Gordon. Right.
Here's the thing. Based on what you just told me now and the on-the-record quote he gave to Zach Lowe, you said, what he doesn't say is these guys love each other, they're going to be fine, they're going to be great teammates, there's nothing but respect between the two of them.
Well,
he didn't say those
things.
This
is what he said when I heard him earlier today. He said that there has been, he didn't deny there was tension. So he said there's been tension, but he said, I don't view that as a bad thing. I'm paraphrasing. Because they're two high-level competitors, they both want to win, and sometimes you're at odds, but he says, I think it's a healthy thing. So he was trying to paint it as, hey, that's what happens when you don't reach your goals.
Plus, to be honest, Harden's taking 80% of the shots anyway.
Well, like, would you blame any of Harden's teammates for being a little fed up? Like, Chris Paul or otherwise? Right?
He throws up some crazy shots.
It's basically like, guys, get out of the way. I'm going to dribble for 23 seconds before I shoot. Like, you know.
And yet they were on the brink.
Yeah, he's still really, really good.
Two games away from the Western Conference Finals.
So, yeah, I don't blame him in that regard. But then also, I talked about this a little bit yesterday, Bees, and I just get the feeling that if you are the Houston Rockets, and even if you do have all of these issues behind the scenes, and specifically Chris Paul and James Harden, when you look at what you're trying to achieve as a team and really as a duo, the leaders of that team, can't you like just put some of this nonsense, the pettiness aside and say, hey, we've got a great opportunity in front of us. The only thing that was stopping us from achieving our goals were the Warriors. Well, and now they physically can't do it.
I'll tell you one team that did, the New England Patriots, because we don't hear about the dysfunction that we heard about. What was it, last year?
Yeah, it was
this time last year, but now maybe a little earlier in the offseason.
It was, well, we heard about it in what, that it was like the December before the Eagles Super Bowl.
Correct. Yeah. So it was a year and a half ago now.
Yeah.
And that's right. It was during the season.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, first ballot Hall of Famer, not to get in this conversation again. But,
oh, don't bring up Hall of Famer.
Tom Brady, first ballot Hall of Famer. Robert Kraft is going to go to the Hall of Fame. He is one of the greatest, I mean, you can make your Jupiter jokes all you want, but he's one of the greatest owners to ever own a National Football League team. Those three guys are going to Hall of Fame. Every one of them thinks they're the greatest they've ever done at their job. There are going to be conflicts. And Belichick, he's not Pete Carroll, all right? He's not warm and cuddly and one of the guys. He is an SOB, all right? But he's really freaking successful. Now, I can see if I was Tom Brady, he'd wear a little thin, but you know what? You know what cures that? That sixth Super Bowl ring Tom Brady has on his fingers now.
Right.
You don't hear about them blowing it up. You don't. You know why? Because they're good, they're winning. The Rockets are going to do the same. I mean, if the Warriors are what we think they're going to be this year, the only team in my mind, I don't believe in the Nuggets. I don't believe in the Blazers. I think those are fine teams. I think those are fine regular season teams. I don't think those are deep run in the playoff teams. Although the Blazers did get to the Western Conference Finals, we saw how that ended up for them.
Yeah. Without Durant.
I think it's the Lakers and the Rockets next year if their core stay in, well, the Lakers obviously will, but if the Rockets' core stays intact, and then you look in the East, we don't know what Kawhi's doing, but I don't think the Rockets look at the Raptors and say, we at full strength can't beat them. I don't think the Warriors say at full strength we can't beat the Raptors. I think they may have very well beaten them if Durant played healthy for seven games. So, yeah, I mean, I suck it up and win, man. That's all that matters.
Well, because Chris Paul, you know, this is another part of this. We talk about Hassan Whiteside over the course of the show because, you know, Tim Reynolds has said that Hassan Whiteside's going to opt in and then ask for a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So even if Chris Paul does ask for a trade, and even the scenario of Daryl Morey, you know, just a couple of weeks ago saying, you know, or at least being reported that the Rockets were telling everybody that, hey, our roster's in business. You tell us what you want to offer and we're looking to change things up. It's like, what are you going to be able to get for Chris Paul?
Hassan Whiteside.
But that's the same thing. It's
No. The Heat wouldn't make that trade because there's two more years left in his contract.
Yeah, so it's like Chris Paul is due basically in the ballpark $120 million over the next three seasons in his mid to late 30s.
Where's he going to go?
$40 million a year for that guy? I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
So that's the other part of this too. But you make a really good point about, you know, Brady and Belichick and all of that. It's like you keep going to Super Bowls, you figure out a way.
Well, that's the problem with the Rockets is they haven't had that success.
Right.
And so that's why you hear about this. What are they going to do with their coach?
Well, supposedly they're going to figure it out and give him a long-term deal, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, that's not a great look.
Well, it's also not a great look that they made him fire all his assistant coaches. Right? And then they won't give him an extension, and yeah. So, but I do think it is kind of hilarious that, you know, Durant goes down, and then Klay Thompson goes down, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, Mike D'Antoni, we actually like you a lot better now, right? And Chris Paul, James Harden, you guys don't like each other, but let's make it work.
Right. Well, and I mean, the question I have is who on that team can guard Anthony Davis?
Clint Capella? I don't know. I mean,
you like that matchup?
Not really, no. Although Clint Capella struggled against the Warriors' smaller lineup. But Clint Capella, by the way, is making like $19.5 million on average coming up. He actually has a very affordable contract. That's a guy that could get dealt.
Those are crazy words that come out of your mouth.
I know.
Like we should have a game like over-under, and I would go under every single time, and I would be wrong every single time on NBA player salaries. They are incredible.
It's scary. It really is. That's why, like, just in general, whenever we talk about these things, you have to do so within the context of the league.
Correct.
Like, you know, when I say that, obviously, in the grand scheme of things, it sounds ridiculous. But if we're just talking within the realm of the NBA, $19.5 million for a player the caliber of Clint Capella is fairly affordable. Bees, let's come back. We've got all sorts of stuff going on tonight, including more issues coming from Boston with the Celtics. We'll tell you about that when we come back here on QAM. Radio.com. Radio.com.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away?
Sometimes you want to go where everybody. We're back here on 560 WQAM.
Man, I want to have a cold one.
Greg Likens alongside Adam Beasley.
Is this Boston related?
No, Danny just likes to play this song towards last the end of every show.
Last segment of the show. It's kind of like a closing down the bar.
It's nice not the last segment of the show.
We got Ira coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Final segment of the show. But before Ira, last segment before Ira.
That's what it is.
Yes.
I thought it was Boston-based because you're going to rip the Celtics.
No, but it actually fits very nicely.
I just like to close. I just like to, like, you know, do it in the last hour. Kind of like feels like, you know, closing the bar, have a good time. It's a good song to end the day with.
It is. It's too bad we don't have any drinks around here. But
I could use one.
Yeah, but we got to drive home. So
use five.
Got to be safe.
How's the weather outside? That's the question.
I don't know. That's one of the issues with doing these shows in these studios is we are a little cordoned off from the outside
you
world.
Think
yeah, so
like a bomb could go off outside, we'd have no idea.
No, we wouldn't have any idea.
keep talking about Hall of Fame snubs and
yeah,
away we go.
Off in our own little world here. Okay, I want to talk about something that I found here on social media, which I found interesting. But first, the Celtics, as I teased it. So the Kyrie Irving appears to be on his way out. And the funny thing about this Kyrie Irving situation, I say it's funny because we're not Boston Celtics fans, but the Celtics, this situation. So Adam Himmelsbach of the Boston Globe. Yes.
Syracuse grad.
Yes. You know him?
He was in my sports journalism class.
I think I remember you telling me that. So he's reporting that Irving has quote unquote ghosted the Celtics in recent weeks and have had little, if any, communication with the team. So that's happening.
What drama.
And then Adrian Wojnarowski reported earlier today that Al Horford declining the $30.1 million player option and plans to become an unrestricted free agent. But then he reported then tonight, just within the last couple of hours, that Al Horford was in the process of trying to negotiate a long-term deal with the Boston Celtics, and the two sides could not agree to terms, and now he is going to pursue opportunities elsewhere.
Maybe because the terms were, I want more than $30 million, and their response is, but you're Al Horford.
Yes, something along those lines. So now all of a sudden, you've got the two veterans on the team leaving.
Mm-hmm.
There's questions about whether Terry Rozier is re-signed or whether he takes off. You still have Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and Jaylen Brown, but this is a shell of the team that we thought would be a perennial contender in the Eastern Conference.
We thought they'd be the next dynasty.
We did, and it's not looking like it's going in that direction. A couple other things. Let's see, we got a Starlin Castro solo home run, so the Marlins are up 1-0 on the Cardinals right now in the fifth inning, so we'll keep you updated on that. Then an update on a story that I told you about within the last couple of weeks in regards to the Stanley Cup Finals. Mm-hmm. I wanted to fill you in on this, B. So there was a sports gambler, and really not a sports gambler, but a guy that decided to put down a wager. Blues fan Scott Barry was in Las Vegas during the first week of this calendar year in January. Instead of playing gaming tables, he decided, you know what? Because I read more about this. He was there for a conference because he's a 31-year-old software salesman and was there for this sales conference. And he said in his mind, hey, I usually spend about $400 to $500 on the tables mm-hmm. if I come to Vegas, and I'm willing to lose that amount. Like, you set that amount.
You budget it.
Most people, you know, do that, you know, responsible people.
I'm $4,000 to $5,000, but I understand.
Yeah. So, you know, you got that amount of money that you're willing to spend, and then you call it a day. He's decided, you know what, instead of just, say, wasting the money on the tables, I'm going to look in the sports book and see what odds I can get. He saw the Blues at 250-1 and put $400 on them. And then the crazy part about this story isn't that it ultimately came true and he's now going to rake in $100,000 because the Blues win.
That's a pretty crazy story.
It's yes, but over the course of the postseason run by the Blues, who, by the way, when he put the bet down, were in last place.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't even know they're going to make the playoffs. But, you know, that all is terrific. But over the course of the postseason run, you know, sites like PropSwap and some of these other entities offered him money over the course of that to buy his ticket. And I think
he probably was offered 30, 40 grand at least.
He was offered 40. And then I had some people who were contacting me who told me that by the middle of the Stanley Cup Finals, I think the highest bid he got was like 70 or 75 grand. And he decided to not
let it ride.
Take it, let it ride. And now $100,000. And the update to this is that Darren Revelle tweeted tonight that I guess he placed the bet at the Paris Hotel in Vegas.
I've stayed there.
Yeah, I have as well.
And it's a great hotel.
Paris Vegas has offered Blues bettor Scott Barry his choice of $100,000 in cash, chips, or a check.
Oh, well, you don't want the cash.
Well, I don't think you want the cash or the chips, right? I mean,
the chips is just begging for you to dump it back.
To give it away, or, you know, the moment somebody like realizes that you've just gotten $100,000 worth of chips, like, that's bad news.
Of course. No, what you ask for is a money transfer.
Yeah,
that's what you want.
Direct deposit.
Correct.
Right?
Wow, that's funny. What, at what stage would you have held onto the ticket, or would you have bailed?
I mean, I probably would have. If you have the chance, if you put down $400, even to make 40 grand.
Now, did he hedge? The question is, did he hedge? Like, when...
I don't think he hedged from everything. I haven't heard that he did. Like, you're saying, like, buy
like,
a ticket
like
for
you,
the Bruins?
Correct. Like, spend 20, 30 grand, if he had it or whatever, on the Bruins, knowing that either way, you're going to make a tidy profit.
I don't... Not from what we've heard.
Oh, I would have done that. I would have taken every dime that I had in my name, and which is not anywhere close to $20,000. I told you before, I think I got like $6 in my name, right? We've had this conversation before. I would take a lien on my house. I would do everything I could to maximize that because, if you spend up to 50 grand, you're still going to, at the very least, double your money.
Right.
At the very least, you're going to double your money. That's the no-brainer there.
Maybe it'll come out later, but so far, he just stuck with his bet.
Crazy. Because, yeah, you if you don't hedge, you run the risk of winning 100 grand or nothing.
Correct.
If you hedge, you are guaranteed 50 grand one way or the other.
Right.
maybe he wanted the thrill of victory, man. That's crazy.
It is crazy. Now, speaking of, while we're on this topic, I saw this story today. So apparently sportsbooks throughout the country are trying to capitalize on now this buzz around the Los Angeles Lakers having Anthony Davis in the fold with LeBron James. And so Caesars Sportsbook has a unique prop bet. And I'm curious how you feel about this. Again, a lot can change between now and the season, obviously. But the prop bet is this. Whether a team from California will win the 2019-20 NBA championship.
I saw that.
And so it's Lakers, Clippers, Warriors, and Kings, yes, at plus 175. The other 26 teams represent the no, which is a minus 210 bet.
I mean, the smart money is on the no, right? Because there's really only one team that has a chance.
Well, unless the Clippers get Kawhi. Because then if the Clippers get Kawhi, and then, you know, some might also argue that if Klay Thompson returns for the playoffs,
then
the Warriors may be in the mix.
I mean,
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Torn ACL is
I mean, Harrison Barnes, I know, just opted out of his contract and becoming a free agent with the Sacramento Kings, but the Kings are up. Oh, sorry. No, yeah. That's a stretch right there.
No, you absolutely take no.
You take no. But, man, Lakers and Clippers, depending on what happens, would be pretty compelling, though.
Do you have any information that Kawhi is going to L.A.?
I mean, all odds are that he's either the Clippers or the Raptors. There's really only two choices.
Really?
Yes.
He wouldn't consider the New York teams at all?
Not from all the reports. Because he's a San Diego guy. I would still take the no. Like, I like my odds with the 26 other teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is the kind of stuff that Vegas thinks get people to spend money.
But here's the thing. You could make the argument that even with Kawhi and LeBron both in L.A., those aren't the two best teams in the NBA. I mean,
which teams would you take on paper?
We've talked about it.
You like the Bucks.
I like the Bucks, man. And I think if Kawhi leaves the East, the East is going to be wide open. I'll never believe in the Celtics. I'm sorry. I won't. They don't have enough perimeter shooting.
If Kawhi leaves, then you're talking about the Bucks and the 76ers, and then what else? I mean, right? I mean,
let's go Heat. Let's go Heat.
The Brooklyn Nets may get Kyrie Irving, but that's not a championship contender.
No. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, is that the Bucks could probably rest Giannis for like a third of the season. Seriously. They would have the one seed with him playing 65 games. Wow. Assuming they keep their roster intact or they improve, or, you know.
Yeah, that's the only thing, is that they've got big decisions to make on Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, Brooke Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Chris Middleton being their second all-star on that team, didn't come through all that well in the conference finals for them. And I think is a player that is a very good player, but I wouldn't pay him max money.
Mm-hmm.
And he may be looking for max money. So, I don't know how they decide to weigh that option.
How'd the East get so bad, man?
Well, this year, the East was pretty darn good. Like, if you think about it.
But we're talking about overnight. If Kawhi leaves, it's a bad conference.
Well, yes, but if you look at the top four teams this year, I mean, I think it's undeniable that you had, you know, between the Celtics, the Bucks, 76ers, and Raptors, you got four really good teams.
Sure.
So, but what the scenario we're discussing is Kyrie leaving the Celtics, and so suddenly the Celtics get weaker, mm-hmm. and the Nets get better, but they're still, you know, they got a lot of work to do, in my mind. And then the 76ers continue to get better because of their young talent, the Milwaukee Bucks, and then the Raptors are still a decent team, but they're not going to be a top four team in the East.
I mean, you ask how the East has gotten this bad, bees. I mean, outside of LeBron propping up the Eastern Conference for the last decade, it's kind of been this way for a while.
But this year, it was
an anomaly.
It was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at, there's more balance in the East in terms of teams that were contenders this year because LeBron just dominated the
If there conference. Was ever a year for like a Detroit Pistons type of team from, you know, the early 2000s to win a title, I think this year upcoming is it. Like, if you build
a team that has like all-stars like but not superstars.
The land of misfit toys, basically. You know, you get the right combination of really good players but not great players. I think this is the year that they could make a run.
One of our texters says in the East, if Victor Oladipo is healthy, is Indiana a title contender?
Wow, we're talking Indiana Pacers.
Pacers. Hey, they were still a good team without him.
Mm-hmm.
I give him credit for that. But Bojan Bogdanovic ended up being their best player, their best scorer.
Next, someone's going to bring up the Orlando Magic, and I'm going to have to leave the studio.
Hey, man, we don't know where Nick Vucevic is going.
We
so.
Don't. That's, yeah, that's important information.
Nick Vucevic, isn't he destined for the New York Knicks? Like, the New York Knicks are going to strike out on everybody, and they got all this money, and they're going to sign Vucevic and, like, Kemba Walker.
So there's really nobody left for them, huh?
Not of the top tier guys.
Yeah, those injuries in the in the finals just destroyed them.
You can make the argument that the Warriors obviously had that the worst like 3-day stretch,
mm-hmm.
but the Knicks were like the second worst.
Totally
3-day stretch.
Destroyed them. And then when Anthony Davis came, you know, was unavailable.
Unavailable. They miss out on the top pick in the lottery, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah. So the question will be: are the Knicks going to just maybe be patient and
well, they
wait?
Should.
Or are they going to pull a Knicks and spend money on players that are good but not great?
Well, I mean, or the answer is, do they still go all in Durant?
Which they might, and he may decide to go there.
And honestly, at this point, what the hell do they have to lose?
Nothing.
Literally nothing.
More games, which they've done a really good
Correct.
Job.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, so they should go in all in on Durant. The question is, does he want to leave? Which he seemed like for the vast majority of the season, he did.
And does he want to be coming back off of that serious injury on a team that has no help for him?
That's, well, you don't know, but you don't know 18 months from now or whatever how that roster is going to look. If they're god-awful again this year, they'll have another top five draft pick.
They will. So it'll be interesting, that's for sure. Hey, Bees, for those who missed it, earlier we spoke to Ira Winderman, so we're going to have that interview for you coming up next, which is great insight, everything NBA. But it's been a lot of fun, man. Great to have you
always.
Back in studio. Appreciate you making the trip down here. Danny G, great job as always, and all the textures, it's always fun. Got people stirred up, which is great. Everybody, drive safe tonight in this weather. Bees, thanks again. Ira Winderman coming up next from the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Radio.com.
We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Adam Beasley on this Tuesday night. Hope everybody is doing well and getting around okay in the rainy weather. Right now, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline and welcome in Ira Winderman, who covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You can follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Ira, it's never a dull moment in the NBA, including tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and Bees, your league might win the regular season, but no one beats the NBA for the offseason.
Oh, I watch the playoffs, and I watch the offseason. I don't watch the regular season.
No, but the offseason in this league, because of the way the free agency is so open, because the draft just being two rounds and only five players playing and a player making such a difference, it's just crazy. As if it was almost as if we couldn't get the playoffs out of the way soon enough to get to the real juicy bits.
Is that good for the league or is that bad for the league that the actual on-court product takes a backseat to all this fun?
I think anything that makes you a 12-month-a-year league is a good thing. And I think the NFL has mastered that with the combine and so much else that goes on. And I think the NBA realized that if you're in the public consciousness for 12 months a year, that people will always be tuned in and paying attention. So yeah, you can make an argument the game should be the thing, but it's not so bad if the game's not the thing. And I wonder if there's any league in the world that could look at the NBA Summer League and say, wait a minute, they sell out two arenas in Las Vegas for three straight weeks and get good TV ratings? The NBA's created something that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you as a writer, me as a writer, Greg as an opinion maker, we know that people want to talk about hope. They want to talk yes. free agency, trades, the draft, especially if you're stuck with the teams that we have down here that's kind of hopeless during the season. Once you get to the offseason, oh my God, we got Josh Rosen here. Oh my goodness, we might trade Hassan. People are really juiced up about it.
Yeah, and again, and the Heat, even for a secondary team, the way they've been able to create the storylines you guys spoke about in your first segment tonight, I mean, that's the thing about the NBA. This is a trade league. This is a free agency league. Sometimes in sports, especially maybe even the NFL to a degree, the trades are the rarities. It's more build through the draft, wait, hope it turns out right. In the NBA, if it doesn't turn out right, we've seen guys in a year, Markelle Fultz, okay, that didn't work. Let's try something else. So there is the possibility for that quick churn as well.
There is. And Ira, you know, we've started the show talking about it. There's the rumor out there, at least Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press, saying that Hassan Whiteside is going to ask for a trade after opting in. I know you've said all along he was going to opt in. What do you make of that? And is it possible for the Miami Heat to potentially move Hassan Whiteside?
Well, I know, and Bees knows how this works also. I got a phone call probably within 5 minutes of that tweet coming out. Someone from Hassan's party, we did not request a trade. We have not requested a trade. So it's always a matter of the nuance. Is Hassan Whiteside someone who wants more playing time? Yes. Is Hassan Whiteside stuck in a roster where they have Bam Adebayo and Kelly Olynyk ahead of him? Yes. But does Hassan Whiteside like making $29 million a year? Yes, yes, yes. So of course he's going to opt in. And if he's going to be miserable, it's going to be miserable at a high enough pay scale that he's also not going to make waves, that he's going to collect his money, and if he has to step to the side to be a 20-minute player, 24-minute player, he will also. Would he like a trade? Yes. Is a trade doable? Well, only if you're going to take a Chandler Parsons back or someone else's bad one-year contract. And I think that's what it might come down to for the Heat.
All right, I want to ask you a question that Adam brought up earlier on, in which he asked, well, what would Hassan Whiteside command if he were to hit the open market? What do you think would be fair that you would pay Hassan Whiteside for a team that would be looking for a center like him?
Well, you know, usually what happens is you'd have to add a sweetener to what we call a minus contract, a contract where the pay is more than the value of the player. But the Heat can just let Hassan's contract play out since this isn't going to be a summer of decision anyway. So what they have to weigh now is how much of a problem is it going to be versus bringing in a contract of a player who might be able to help you or might be more amenable. For example, the Heat traded Tyler Johnson last season for Ryan Anderson. Now, Ryan Anderson never played, is going to be cut by July 10th to save over $6 million on his contract, but he never made waves. So it could be that kind of deal. But I think, you know what it's almost like? It's almost like Ryan Tannehill, where he might say, I want to go somewhere else and play, but then he realizes, I'm going to go somewhere else and be a backup anyway. So I think for Hassan Whiteside, he might just have to accept the reality that his remaining NBA reality might not be the stardom that he and some other people expected for him. So I think you're going to trade him for a similar player who just sort of doesn't fit somewhere.
Ira, what do you think about the draft that players are looking at? And in my mind, you got to hit on these draft picks. They haven't done that a ton in Miami. What's your lay of the land?
Well, my lay of the land is you can go two ways on this. One of the ways is to go is just to say, okay, we're just going to take the best player available. And there are so many serviceable players who you and I could be talking 3-4 years from now and say, hey, he's a nice player. But nice players in the NBA don't get you anywhere. Or you can go out and take a chance. So you have someone like a Kevin Porter at Southern Cal who got benched and suspended for maturity issues. Of course, like so many players, only going to be 19. Do you take a chance there? Do you take a chance with a guy like Bol Bol, who's 7'2 and shoots three-pointers, but is a stick figure? I mean, if he turns sideways, you wouldn't know he's on the court. Do you try to do something different with that? Do you go with someone like Rui Hachimura from Gonzaga, who just started playing basically in middle school in Japan, and you wonder how much more growth is there and sort of appreciation for the game? I would like to see the Heat swing for the fences. I can give you probably a dozen players, Brandon Clark and players like that, and P.J. Washington, where you could say they'll be good, safe picks. I think you got to go for a player, and if it doesn't work out, say to yourself, hey, it's the number 13 pick. Not much is expected there either. And I also could see the Heat, as you guys mentioned at the top of your show, trading down or even out of the first round to get rid of future salary cap space. Because here's the deal. What does Pat Riley value more in the long view? A number 13 draft choice or being able to escape an additional $15 million in cap space? And Pat has always valued the cap space above all.
Ira Winderman covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here on 560 WQAM. That has been his MO, to be sure. All right, while we're on the topic of the Heat, sure. The Jimmy Butler rumors emerged over the weekend that he'd be interested in talking with the Heat once he hits free agency. Okay, I got to ask you about this, Ira, because there's many sure. different angles to it. I know that some Heat fans get excited by the hope that B has already referenced, but is this a realistic possibility in your mind?
It doesn't make sense from a mathematical standpoint that Jimmy Butler can get an extra year, higher raises by staying with the Sixers, a fifth year in his contract he cannot get even in a sign and trade. So you're talking about leaving $42 million on the table. Number two, if his goal is to truly be on a contender, which is why he was so miserable in Minnesota, I mean, you can talk about all you want about Pat Riley and turning things around, but right now the short-term outlook, having Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid as teammates, is a better outlook there also. So I think if the Sixers are going to pony up, I think what Jimmy Butler is doing is this. He's letting him know I have other options, so I want every last stinking dollar. And I think the 76ers look at it as, uh-oh, he wants every stinking last dollar, and I think they might have to acquiesce. And if the Heat were to make a trade, and let's say I've been putting out there Goran Dragic and Josh Richardson just to give them a plug-and-play component for now and Dragic, something for down the road. If you're the Heat, do you want to be paying a Jimmy Butler when he's 34 years old, $40 million? So there are two sides of it, but I find that to be very much of a long shot.
Yeah, I view it that way as well. And, you know, I think everybody gets excited just when the Heat are mentioned, especially in an offseason in which it's been, you know, long assumed that the Heat would not be active. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. Getting back to the draft for a second, Ira, because sure. I know you have referenced this in some of your recent articles when you're profiling the different options for the Heat, especially for big men. Where do you reside on this? The topic we bring up every year, NFL and NBA draft, best player available versus drafting for need.
You know, it's really interesting. I saw one of the draft analysts, I believe it was Bleacher Report, wrote something that I said, yeah, that's what I do. And he said this, most media people doing the mock drafts try to find the right fit for a team by looking at who that team has and who's the best player that can augment that group. And then he said most NBA executives simply look for the best player. And I think the lesson we learned last time from the Heat, in a summer where a year after they gave Hassan Whiteside $98 million over 4 years, in an offseason where they would eventually sign Kelly Olynyk as their prime free agent addition, they still went for Bam Adebayo, who was best player on the board. This is how I look at it right now, Greg. This Heat team this year, no offense, not going anywhere. Next year's Heat team, probably not going anywhere either. So I think what you do is draft the best player for this reason. Who can be a complementary component, which is all I honestly think you get at number 13, for our next good team? So you don't know who you're augmenting. Maybe it's a Jimmy Butler. Maybe down the road it's Kawhi again in free agency off a short deal, or Kevin Durant, or who knows? Anthony Davis doesn't like playing with LeBron in free agency next year. I think what you have to do if you're the Heat is look at a player and say, on a championship contender, can this player be a contributor and be a complement to the main guy, whoever that main guy turns out to be, either in 2020 or 21? So I think that's how you have to look at it more than anything. Who is going to be someone I can trust in a playoff situation? Or, as we say, the anti-Beasley. Michael Beasley, not Adam. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's both funny and depressing hearing you say that, Ira, because I've given the same exact answer to about the 2019 Dolphins season. Mm-hmm. They're looking for players now that can help them in 3 years when they're good. And as a fan, that's going to drive you crazy.
Well, it is, unless you can see the growth in the player. You know, as long as you can see the vision, and that's always been the problem down here, especially with the Dolphins, with so many coaches and front office people, is whose vision. The one advantage I think the Heat have in that respect, Adam, is you know sort of what the Pat Riley vision is. It's to bring that whale, is to airlift the superstar in here. Now, it's been years, and I know we always talk about they couldn't get Hayward, they couldn't get Kevin Garnett. But the one thing I think the three of us will all agree, Pat has never stopped trying. So as long as there's a chance for that kind of player, we know that's the vision. So I think when they look at the draft, I think that's the vision also. Even if the player isn't ready right now, but can they see something? Can they see that glimmer in someone's eye and say to them, yeah, 2 or 3 years, this is going to be a special guy? I think they have a bunch of that already. I think Josh Richardson can be a compliment on a title contender. I think Justice Winslow can. I think Bam Adebayo can. And yet I don't think any of them may ever be an all-star during their career.
Ira Winderman covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here on 560 WQAM. All right, so a team that's looking for complementary players like the ones you just described, the Los Angeles Lakers, now because they have Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma. That trade reported over the weekend. I thought this deal made sense for both sides. How do you evaluate the transaction, Ira?
I'm a guy who says you have to pick your window and go for it. So you're right. The Lakers have sold out their next 7 years of the draft. It's all or nothing. The Nets tried that with Garnett and Pierce. They were older. It didn't work out. But you know what? In the moment, no one blamed the Nets for going for Darren Williams and Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. That's what the NBA is like. There's no New England Patriots here. Everyone picks a certain window and says we're going for it. The Warriors did when they brought in Kevin Durant, and we don't know what's going to happen next. Look, the Toronto Raptors did it for 1 year. If you go from Kawhi Leonard in the championship, if Kawhi Leonard leaves, I probably would put Toronto in sixth place in the East next season. So I think what the Lakers did was the wise play. If you have LeBron at 35, 36 years old, and you only have three more years basically in his window, go for it. I think it was a good deal for the Lakers. I think for the Pelicans that you can now surround a player like Zion Williamson, and if you look at the rest of the West, there is no chance the Pelicans can make the playoffs this season. Just because of the depth of talent, I think it was fine for them. Now my question is this. LeBron James had been the ultimate recruiter. He got Mike Miller, Shane Battier, Ray Allen, Chris Birdman Anderson. He always got players to come in on the cheap. Is he still looked at as that same type of teammate where enough players will say, hey, to play with LeBron and contend for a title, I'll take a little bit less or a lot of bit less? Now LeBron's back on the clock as what he's always wanted to be, LeBron James, the general manager.
And he's 9 years older, too, so that window for him is closing
and
by
that,
the day.
And that's why I don't know if it's going to happen, because really, toward the end, he couldn't do that in Cleveland all the time. And you saw some of the players he was playing with, and he wasn't that kind of attraction. So now the question is, who are the players who attract? We know that Klay Thompson and Steph Curry attracted Kevin Durant. They attracted players there in Golden State. Now we'll see if LeBron is still the sort of same player magnet that he was earlier in his career.
You mentioned the Warriors. Who's a bigger dumpster fire as we sit here tonight, the Warriors or the Rockets?
See, I think it's the Rockets for this reason. I think the Warriors need to rejuvenate. They just need to regrow their appendages. So they'll take sort of their 1 year out of the mix, hope that Clay and maybe even, who knows, Kevin Durant, with all the love they show to him, comes around. They'll be okay. They still have another window. The whole thing with Chris Paul, and again, look, I'm the same guy who said you go for it when you can. I'm just looking at Chris Paul's contract now, and you're averaging like almost $40 million the next 3 years, and I'm going, oh my God, talk about dumpster fire contracts. Here we are talking about Hassan Whiteside at 28 for 1 year, as opposed to like over $100 million for 3 years. I don't know what the Rockets do, and if they don't bring it back together, you would think with the Warriors down, the Rockets would have gotten together with their players and said, hey, forget all that's gone wrong until now. Our window is here. This was the equivalent of LeBron leaving the East this year, and all of a sudden Milwaukee and Philadelphia and Toronto emerged. We could. But apparently, like I joked on Twitter, that commercial where they joke about whether James Harden set the fire at Chris Paul's house, apparently he did.
Ira Winterman covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here. Yeah, Ira, I made the same argument. It's like before the Houston Rockets or the Portland Trailblazers, the Denver Nuggets, any of these teams, even the Oklahoma City Thunder, any of these teams in the West that have been close but haven't been able to get past this generational team in the Golden State Warriors, I feel like it's so wide open now. You got to let bygones be bygones. You have a little tension behind the scenes. Okay, we were brought together to try to win a championship. Now the biggest roadblock is out of the way. You would hope that that would then allow Paul, Harden, and the rest of the group there in Houston to at least make one more run.
Yeah, but you hear these Chris Paul stories. This is not the first time Chris Paul's name has come up in not being able to get along with teammates, whether it was DeAndre Jordan with the Clippers and maybe even Blake Griffin. And you heard stories how as soon as Chris Paul was traded from the Clippers, everyone there exhaled and felt like they got a new, fresh start. So if you're going to be that demanding and be an older player and be an injury-prone player, I could see where other teammates would say, like, yeah, you're not that guy anymore. You haven't aged like LeBron. You are an older supporting player. And James Harden is the it thing right now. So I am really curious to see what, if anything, Houston can do right now with that Chris Paul contract.
The other situation, which it suddenly seems like there was a bright future in Boston, right? So the Boston Celtics, with all their young players, plus Kyrie Irving, and the thought that they could add another big-name piece, and now it feels like Kyrie's going to leave. Al Horford opted out today. What do you make of the current state of the Celtics?
Well, you know what I'll compare it to is what we just talked about, how everyone said the Pelicans fleeced the Lakers and they got all these picks. Yes, and the Celtics fleeced the Nets and got all those picks. And then one of the picks, Colin Sexton, was traded for Kyrie Irving, who might leave. And then some of the other picks didn't exactly turn out to be the players that the Celtics thought they were going to be. So sometimes a whole bunch of picks can turn into a nice player like Jalen Jaylen Brown, a nice player like Jason Tatum, but not the ultimate player when you just build around picks. Boston will be competitive, but Boston window was, we're going all in. They cashed out that number one pick they got from Brooklyn unprotected and gave it to the Cavaliers. It only turned into Colin Sexton, and they went all in, and it didn't work. So they took their sort of bite at the apple. When a free agent leaves you with nothing in return, rarely are you able to hold it up for the next couple of years. And the Kyrie Irving thing is crazy. Season starts before the season. Of course, I want to retire and have my jersey in the rafters. Midseason, he goes to New York and goes, yeah, I like New York. End of the season, right now he's not even returning the Celtics phone calls. Sometimes you got to wonder about who you get in bed with, and then you wind up getting punished because of it.
The ultimate soap opera, and we just wrapped up the NBA Finals. We got a championship-caliber offseason in the NBA that is already underway. Ira, appreciate your time as always. Encourage everybody to read you in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Follow you on Twitter, at Ira Heatbeat, and can't wait to see what happens next as it continues here in the NBA.
And I want to know when they're going to pull those Chris Paul and James Harden commercials now, because not so funny anymore.
No,
thank you, guys.
Not. Thanks, Ira. Have a good one. There he is. Ira Winderman covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.